It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
Yo, police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
Yo, police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Monday, May 4th, 2026. Jim, may the 4th be with you.
Yes, yes, yes. And we're only one day away from the 5th. We used to say May 5th, that was when the new Chevys came out.
Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah.
Really? That's funny.
Partly joke.
Wow. I'm kind of slow today, folks.
That's all right.
It's like everybody that didn't know that Vader is... The word Vader, Darth Vader,
uh-huh.
It's father in German, you know?
Well,
that's
I didn't know that.
That's why he's Luke's father.
Oh, very cool.
Luke, I am your father.
Very cool.
Anyway, it's on my bucket list, folks. No, I have not seen Star Wars. Have you?
No, I don't think I have.
The first one.
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, I have not either. Then the weird part is, you know, normally the Diamondbacks play on May the 4th. They have a Star Wars night and everything.
Uh-huh.
And people dress up and they have a giveaway, one of the players in a Star Wars costume or whatever, as a bobblehead. But yeah, not this year. They saved it for, I think it's a week from tonight, if I remember right, against, it wouldn't be that either because they're on the road. Anyway,
right.
Welcome to the show from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. We had a pretty good show today, actually, besides Jim being my first.
Yes.
My first short guest.
Wait a minute.
Reluctantly. No, short in time span.
Oh, okay.
You're still taller than me, I believe. We're going to have Ken Gregory on. He's a judge pro tem, and
uh-huh.
He's a candidate for Superior Court Division 7.
Well, that'll be interesting.
In the green room right as
yeah.
we speak. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it will be. I don't know if we've had a judicial candidate on.
Certainly not that I recall.
Not in the last election cycle. I know that. And the last time I remember really endorsing or voicing or whatever Bullhead City. The name just left. It came and went. Chuck Gertler.
Okay.
That's who I did a commercial for, and they couldn't run it because I was the news director at the time.
Uh-huh.
It's a little conflict.
You know, I don't tend to think of judges running for office.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously they do.
It is nonpartisan, too.
Yeah.
There's a move in some states to make it, you know, partisan, either Republican, Democrat, or Independent. But I've got tickets to give away, too,
folks.
I've got Saturday night tickets, Saturday afternoon, rather. That game is at 4:10, I believe, is the first pitch against the New York Mets at Chase Field. And I think it's fireworks night is why it starts so early. They're going to
mm-hmm.
run fireworks after the game. And then, so that's one set of giveaways. That's four tickets field level for the Diamondbacks. Saturday afternoon, and then it's a matinee. And then I've got, still have tickets, two tickets. This has been here for a while. People just kind of look at it and go, really? Two tickets to, he's a comedian. His name is Matt Rife. This Saturday night at the Edge Pavilion, and Listen to Win, I will give it away, give these away during one of the breaks, and you have to notify the Edgewater by this Thursday that you're going in order to secure your tickets. It's going to be one of those pick them up at will call things.
Uh-huh.
So I've had people say, hey, can I have these? Can I have these? No. I wanted to wait until this week, because I guess he's pretty famous in some circles. Huh. Some young guy kind of looks like Billy Idol in the publicity photos. So anyway, we have a free life jacket exchange coming up. We had Kyler Cox come in and tell us about it. Not on the show, but in the green room, did a PSA as well. And it's on May 16th from 10 a.m. to noon at the London Bridge Beach Stage. So that would be a week from this Saturday. Folks, they go fast. You want to get there at 9:30 if it starts at 10. And you can exchange your worn-out life jackets for the new vest, a brand new vest. But don't bring the Type 3s, the orange ones. You know which ones
yes,
I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, the old KPOC flotation
type
things.
Yeah, they're called orange Type 2 jackets will not be accepted. So boat safe, boat smart, boat sober, and always wear a life jacket. I think it's the law if you're 12 and under.
Could be.
I'm almost positive. And we'll be talking to them, MCSO, I think it's the end of this week we have them on the show. So anyway, another desert storm in the books.
Boy, is it ever in the record books.
You had more people than ever at the VIP party.
Yes, we had more people everywhere.
People told me that, too.
Ever in the history of the free world.
Right. People told me that, too. There were they were waiting for between two and three cycles of the stoplights, the traffic signals.
Oh, yes.
At McCulloch and Lake Havasu Avenue. Uh-huh. Now, I was asked to ask you this by a few people, but when you get that special events permit for Desert Storm, which is the event, of course, for this city, is some type of police protection or can they run the intersections down there, bypass the lights to where they're directing traffic and it doesn't get so congested at McCulloch and Lake Havasu Avenue? Is that part of it?
Not to delve too deeply into the permitting process, but how that works for any event is you apply to the city, let's say it's a new event, you apply to the city and give them the real basics, the date, the place, and what you're going to do. And then that application is circulated by City Hall through all of the city departments that might have favorable or unfavorable impact by the event. And then the PD in this case would review it and say, oh, well, it's going to be a million cars and we'll need to direct traffic. And if it's an event that has some history to it, they'll review it and look at their notes for what they did last year. But there isn't much that can be done with respect to the street party traffic and its impact because of us removing the main street in town from traffic flow.
Right.
So, and I assume, not to second guess our great PD, but I assume that they don't think it would be improved or expedited by manual control of the traffic. Never have heard that raised as a question, and they've got many years. We've been doing the boulevard for at least 15 or more of the 28 years of the event.
Right.
It didn't start. It goes way back. Jim Salscheider was in charge of Main Street.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
wow.
When it was first, when we first did the boulevard.
With the Marine Association president in charge
yes.
of the Main Street. How
Before
funny.
The Marine Association existed.
Oh, okay. So it must have been a Main Street Association.
Yeah, I've forgotten what it was called, but yeah. Salscheider was in charge of that organization.
It's called the Main Street Association. Yeah.
Interesting. That sounds right.
So the eye of the storm.
Yes.
That was where the commons is.
Yes.
Who thought of that? That's a great name. Was that you or Tickner or just somebody at a board meeting?
Actually, the whole use of that and the naming of it goes back just about a decade.
Oh, okay.
They never, in the early days, it never involved what was then just the, we referred to it as the park.
Okay, right.
It was never involved. In 2015, we first used it during the street party and had registration there and registration and check-in for the participants, because that was always a cumbersome thing to get that done when the event was headquartered at the, in the old days, at the London Bridge Resort, at the Nautical in that period.
Now, I found a hat, a piece of swag that
yes.
I have. You probably gave me, somebody gave me a few years ago. It's the Dry Fit Gray. It says Storms Racing on it, like Desert Storm
uh-huh.
or Storm Racing. I guess were there when Nichols had the event, when he owned the event, were there different Storm, not racing, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Poker runs.
Yeah.
Storm poker runs is what it says on it.
Storm
yes, thank you.
Storm poker runs would have been 17, 18, and 19.
Oh, wow. So I have a hat from all the way
yep.
back there.
Yep. Yeah. That was when Christina and Jimmy Nichols owned it. The event was essentially founded by Jim Nichols Sr., and he and I partnered in 2015
uh-huh.
and sold it in 2018, and his son Jimmy Jr. and his wife Christina purchased it. And I have never been directly personally involved with the Monster Bash, which was also a much smaller poker run, and that those two poker runs Jimmy and Christina put together and called it the uh-huh. Desert Storm Poker
huh.
Runs.
There's somebody's left over too. There's a boat that's tilted up on a trailer, three axle trailer, that's at the Quality Inn right now, or it was
oh,
earlier
really?
This
yeah.
morning. I was really surprised
oh, yeah.
that it's here a week later.
Huh.
Either that or they're a week late, right?
Yeah, right. They want a little quieter time
right,
on the
right,
lake.
Right, right. Anything else? Well, the tent I mentioned last week was 1,800. No, 8,500
square feet.
How could I forget that?
That's the largest tent ever in Havasu.
Right. And then your title sponsor, of course, just phenomenal.
Oh,
Anderson
Power Sports and Marine. It is a magnificent, wonderful relationship with their title sponsorship. The sponsors that we started our ownership with 4 years ago have remained with us. Kicker Marine Audio is the presenting sponsor, and Chagrus has been the sponsor of the shootout. And this year we added two very important sponsors, and actually Go Lake Havasu rose to the level of signature sponsor
wow.
in the event. They sponsored the Parade of Power,
mm-hmm.
which is our parade through the Bridgewater Channel. And very, very importantly, the IHRA, the International Hot Rod Association, mm-hmm. joined us as a major signature sponsor.
Our mayor at the event, at the VIP party, he said, "What channel?" It was all boats. He couldn't see the water. Now, I guess it was pretty crazy out there.
Yeah, indeed. You know, there were no places to park a boat in the channel by daybreak.
Whoa.
Friday morning.
Wow.
By daybreak.
That's
there
crazy.
Were no places.
Just for spectators, huh?
Just for spectators.
Yeah, I saw one of the drone cams that was over Thompson Bay
uh-huh.
and part that goes out to the north,
yes.
the north end. It was packed.
Yeah. And we turned yeah. it around. We historically have run the parade from Thompson Bay around to the north bay where Crazy Horse is.
Mm-hmm.
And for safety, as the event has grown, we followed recommendations and with Kyler Cox's endorsement and our fire department's and police department's endorsement, we ran it from the Crazy Horse end of the channel, through the channel, and departed on the poker run with the super fast boats from Thompson Bay.
Well, congratulations on a great event again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I sure. had hoped to be able to share the geofence numbers on the IHRA street party today, but we have a special arrangement with one of our clients that we are able to use his account for this report.
Yeah.
And we have to schedule it through his availability. And so I'm hoping in the next few days to be able to share that number.
Nice.
We believe it was bigger than last year.
Nice. All right. King Gregory's up next. Judge Pro Tem and running for Superior Court Division 7. This will be a fun interview.
Yes.
Never interviewed
Very
a judge.
Very interesting.
I wanted to play Here Comes the Judge. You know that song?
Yes, of
you remember
course.
That from Laughing?
Oh, of he course.
Here Comes the Judge. Here Comes the Judge. Anyway, I settled for some sticks. I've been on a sticks kick lately. I know Marissa June loves that. So, all right, Jim Russell, my co-host, and Speak Out will continue. We're going to save this for the second break. You can call in either for the Diamondbacks tickets or for the Matt Rife seats at the Edgewater this Saturday night. There he is, the judge in the house. We have to behave ourselves now.
Yes.
All right. We'll get on double secret probation, right? Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. 928-854-5687. If you have questions for the judge's candidate, Ken Gregory, coming up next. Back on Speak Out. Jim, I got goosebumps.
Yes.
It's like one of my favorite songs of all time. Well, by Styx anyway, that's for sure. A little crystal ball. And yeah, we're going to be giving away tickets the next break, folks. So go ahead and call in then, and I'll let you know what those tickets are. Because if I let them know
Secret tickets?
No, I let them know in the beginning of the show. But if I let them know now, they're going to call now, right?
Yes.
They're going to mess up a really good interview.
They don't follow instructions well.
Right, right. Judge Ken Gregory here sitting at this table. I don't know why I'm so intimidated right now. I haven't broken any laws.
I don't think he's...
Well, wait.
Have you done something?
Yeah. I did. Yeah, you know, 5 miles over the speed limit. Does that count?
I don't handle the traffic tickets.
Oh, good.
Do we call you Your Honor?
No, you can call me Ken. I always tell people, hey, unless I'm wearing a black dress, you call me Ken, right?
A black dress. That's great. That's what my priest says.
Is that the actual protocol for it? If you're wearing the robe, then that's the appropriate...
I think it's a matter of individual discretion.
Right.
You know, in the courthouse, of course, employees and customers of the courthouse will refer to me as Judge or Your Honor.
Uh-huh.
And outside of the courthouse, I'm a pretty casual guy. I'm a human being just like everybody else. And,
uh-huh.
you know, I
Hold the phone, Jim.
Okay.
I got to give out the sponsors and we
go
have
ahead.
A phone call.
Go ahead.
Jim's rearing to go here.
I
haven't heard him lead off an interview in 12 years. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, TWN Fiber Internet by Salmon's Air Conditioning and by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And let's take a phone call.
Wow, that was quick.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, who's this?
This judge took my house away from me.
Wait, what?
Gave it to my wife after I told him that I had it listed and the real estate market was horrible.
Okay.
And I got completely screwed by this guy.
Is this appropriate? Is this Greg?
Yeah.
Okay. This is kind of...
It is appropriate.
I don't know that it is, sir.
Dude, do not vote for this guy. No.
Okay, that's all I need to hear. I'm not going to take phone calls like that on the air.
No.
My apologies, Judge.
Yeah.
Well, you bet.
Yeah, it kind of runs with the territory, you know. Let me say this about that.
Do you get that a lot?
Let me say this. You know, every time a case comes before us for an adjudication, there's going to be a controversy between two or more parties, and somebody's going to walk out the doors of that courtroom with a result they like, and somebody with a result they dislike.
Yes,
it's a not an easy job in many ways, and we all face that as judges. So, so much as going out to buy groceries, you know, you're going to run into somebody in the community. And by and large, I think I've received a lot of praise from the people in this town. Of course, I actually remember the voice and that particular case, and it's a tough one. But in the context of a divorce, you got to do something with the house, right? And the judge is tasked with that job. We can't allow people to stay in a house and to the detriment of the other party who owns 50% of it.
Yeah.
We have to do something with it. And that's just the bottom line. And that's what we're tasked with as judges to do in the context of a family court case, divide the community property.
They used to say that on the People's Court, if I remember right. There's, you know, nobody, not both parties go away happy.
Right.
Very rarely. Very rarely.
And I suspect that in divorce cases, having experienced that,
you
pleasantness.
Too? Me too. One and done.
But you're so sure you're completely right.
Sure.
And the other party is equally sure. The feelings, I imagine, are extremely strong when it looks like you favored one or the other.
Sure. Of course, there's a lot of heartache, of course. And then add on top of that, you know, dividing time with kids, you know, things.
Oh,
this is the worst of times for people going through family court. It's difficult stuff.
You know, speaking of child support, it's very, when I went through my divorce, my child was almost 19, right? So I had like 3 months of child support to pay. But I had a default divorce too. I wasn't the one in default. She was. But anyway, the laws are very clear as far as shared custody, joint custody, and sole custody. There's a formula. You can't get out of it, can you? As a judge, it's not like you can order a certain amount for child support. How much leeway do you have?
Oh, when it comes to child support, there is a set of guidelines that's been adopted by the legislature that we're duty bound to follow those guidelines and run the calculations. Within those guidelines, there's some amount of discretion that judges have. We can deviate from the guidelines if you make a finding of good cause and specify the reasons for why we did something. We do that especially to, bulletproof our record in case it goes up on appeal. So, that's child support guidelines. More generally with respect to child custody matters, child support is relatively easy compared to child custody. But there also we have a bunch of guidelines that the legislature has us follow. It's called the best interest factors. We have to determine what's in the best interest of the children. And I think there's about 11 statutory factors that we have to look at. In addition, anything else that piques our interest.
As a Superior Court judge, now do you have to deal with family law, criminal law, in real estate law? How many different types are there? And do you have to deal with all of those? Because, say, in Clark County District Court, there's a family law division, because it's so big and there's so many cases.
Yeah, I appreciate that question. I don't think people often realize just how many different courts there are.
My mother was a legal secretary.
Right. My mom was, too.
Really? Interesting.
And I think that's probably what inspired me to get out into law, right?
Sure.
Just to tell you a little bit about my own trajectory and where I've been on the bench, I was appointed about 8 years ago now as a court commissioner. There's eight elected judges now in Mojave County on the Superior Court, and there's six appointed commissioners now. So I've been an appointed judge for 8 years, and I've put my name in on the Republican primary to be an elected judge, filling what will soon be the vacancy of Rick Lambert. He's retiring. He's been a judge over in Kingman for many years. Great guy. But I've put in for Division 7. Over the last 8 years, I started in Kingman with a kind of a blended docket of family court, juvenile cases, the delinquency cases where kids get in trouble.
That's
in,
a tough one.
In the system.
That's got to be tough.
Yes,
tough,
yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, I would say that's probably one of the dockets where it is one of the toughest ones, because you realize a lot of these situations are circumstances way beyond the control of these kids, and your heart just can't help but to really go out for them. Those cases will keep you up at night. I had mental health docket over there. Then after a year, I transferred here to Lake Havasu City and did largely a civil docket. Which is my wheelhouse, in private practice for 14 years. I did civil cases.
Oh, okay.
Heavy emphasis on real estate law, but I got out and represented a lot of people in the business community. Did a lot of transactional work too. I took on a family court docket here alongside the civil docket, estates and probates, guardianships, back to a civil docket primarily right now.
Okay. Now, Judge Lambert has been, when was he elected? Probably 16 years ago? I would say four terms at least.
Yeah, I think he was on the Justice Court over in Kingman maybe first.
I don't even know the last time or if he was ever opposed.
Yeah.
Because he is known as, can I say it, the hanging judge, right? He's a tough judge. He's a tough judge.
I haven't heard that particular reference.
I actually have, as a news person.
Okay.
A couple of us news people actually, he's in Lambert's court? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, is that something you have to think about when you're running for that, Division 7 seat? Is that a tough act to follow, per se?
Well, yeah, it's a tough question. I don't know about that.
You have your own.
I think we each strive to be very independent, and we're duty bound to be very independent as judges. And,
okay.
Of course, we're all going to bring, slightly different philosophies to the bench when it comes to criminal cases. There probably are judges who are on one spectrum of the, sentencing guidelines and others who are, maybe lighter. But I would be surprised if there's really that much variation at the end of the day.
You don't see a lot of judicial races that are contended, do you? And there's not a lot of turnover in the judgeships here.
There's not a lot. In fact, I don't know what the numbers are, but I venture a guess that most of them are filled by the governor. So somebody leaves office and there's an appointment by the governor.
Vacancy.
Yeah.
So as a commissioner, are you still under the presiding judge, Steve Moss, then?
I am. We go through a kind of a public vetting process. There's a committee assembled to interview candidates for commissioner. And then it's up to the presiding judge to make the appointment.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So what will this election represent in change to you? Assuming you win the election, how does your job function change?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
As a practical matter, it doesn't change because I'm already filling those shoes.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing all the things the Superior Court judges do. But it's more of an opportunity for me to step up. I've been doing it long enough in an appointed position, and I think it's time just to go to the helm and put my name in, see if I can get elected to one of the division seats. Also, there's job security with a 4-year term as Superior Court judge that I don't currently have as commissioner, although I've been serving for 8 years. But I have some seniority in it now, I suppose. But my position is highly dependent on the county budget, and those funds dry up and they got to start cutting judges. The commissioners go. The division judges are constitutional judges who are there with state funds backing them, so they don't get chopped.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, and there's a little bump in pay. There's 10% more pay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I know the constables were a little nervous about that supervisors thing, right?
Yeah.
For a while, but they're guaranteed a job, I guess, for a couple of years anyway. They were talking about cutting all the constables
right.
In the county, but All right, we're going to take our second break of the hour. If you want tickets to Matt Rife, give me a call, 928-854-5687. It's this Saturday at the Edge Pavilion, Laughlin. And, of course, that show, I believe, is at 8 o'clock. I'll have to check on that. And then you're going to want to, whoever wins the tickets, get in touch with marketing. We have a certificate for you. You want to get in touch with them by this Thursday, all right? 928-854-5687. If you want two tickets to see Matt Rife at the Edgewater this Saturday. Back with more in a moment. Jim Russell, our guest. My co-host. And we have Judge Ken Gregory, who is running for Superior Court District 7 judge. And right now he's Judge Pro Tem. So there you go, right? Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We're back on Speak Out, a little Steve Miller Band. You know that song, right, Jim?
Yeah.
Fly Like an Eagle?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because you're like that, you know, Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, Twain Era. Country, Merle Haggard, right?
We have real country.
We have a winner for the Matt Rife tickets. Her name is, let's say, June? Yeah.
Yes.
I can't see her. June T, let's just say that. It's the last pair I have left.
Very
we gave
good.
A bunch away, I don't know, a couple months ago we've had those, so... All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also Springburg Wealth Management, by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooters Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care. Some pretty smart people there, wouldn't you
yes,
say, Jim?
Yes, indeed. Anybody smart enough to spend their advertising dollar here with us.
Right.
It's a good place to do business.
Right, right, right. A good place for candidates to do business, believe it or not. I'm just throwing it out there.
I hear your pitch.
No, I'm not a salesperson, but I've been told that you have a really good chance when you advertise on this station politically.
Okay.
That the candidates do pretty well.
Awesome.
So, anyway.
Is that...
You had a question during the break about travel, right?
Well, it was kind of not understanding how the mechanics of being a judge work. And I was asking if you have a courtroom that remains your courtroom or if your services take you to other cities to, you know, hold a special type of hearing or, you know, how that worked. On the working side of your being a judge.
You should have a court mobile.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Maybe have a little RV. Like
yeah. That's what I'm saying. right. Go ahead.
Typically we'll have our own courtrooms over in Kingman and Havasu. I had my own fixed courtroom. I'm hot swapping courtrooms with a couple judges up in Bullhead City right now. We're a little crunched for space there.
Uh-huh.
And we've hired three new commissioners just in the last year, and with a Division 8 opening up to Doug Camacho. He's here in Lake Havasu City now. So a lot of us will commute to courthouses to fit in the needs of the system. The plan is in a couple months I'll move up to Kingman, have a fixed courtroom there. Because there's an annex, it's the old building, the old courthouse.
Oh, yes.
We're remodeling a couple of courtrooms in there, and those will be available once the construction ends, which mm-hmm. will free up a couple new courtrooms. We're a couple short at the moment.
Is the county experiencing those kind of growing pains with the judicial system and the courts?
No, I mean, it's growing just crazy. And in the last 20 years or so, it's just it's something. I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of the older judges. Even Frank Gordon, who very well known local Superior Court judge, went on to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. You know, he was the only Superior Court judge here at the time back in the day. And of course, now we got, 14 of us. And so, the county's growing a lot. We do need the additional facilities. And We just over the last year met the judicial demand by adding three new judges.
Are you assigned to staff or do you choose your staff?
Superior Court judges will choose their staff. So my current judicial assistant is actually someone I've known, Marcella. You know her.
Sure.
And she's just wonderful. She and her friend, husband Paul are just great friends of mine, have been for 20-plus years. And she also served as a legal assistant to me in private practice. Yeah. So when the position opened up, I brought her on.
Great. Nice, very nice.
Yeah.
So you've been a judge pro tem. You were appointed, you said, 8 years ago?
About, yeah.
What kind of changes have you seen in the caseload as far as the types of cases? Are you seeing more drugs, more child abuse, more family matters, capital cases? Do you see capital cases, by the way?
Yeah, I don't currently have a criminal docket. When I started, I did have a kind of a partial criminal docket. I did, probably upwards of 1,500 arraignments. And,
wow.
Yeah, just a little... Well, just touched on the criminal stuff here and there, but I never had a criminal trial docket. So not my wheelhouse. I didn't do that in private practice.
I got you.
Maybe a handful of little misdemeanor cases, but nothing real major. So in the on the civil side, we are seeing an uptick in civil cases being filed. Family court's been hot last few years. I don't know if that's chilled this year or not. I left the family court docket last September.
Mm-hmm.
But, civil cases, we're definitely seeing a rise on those cases.
Wow, interesting. Jim?
Yeah, I'm curious about this workload. Obviously, if there are more cases, we need more courtrooms as well as the people. Is this accomplished currently by extending the hours of court activity? Or how do we get by? Or is there a terrible backlog?
Yeah, because you have to see, like a felony case, or felony criminal case, you have to see in a certain amount of time, right? The civil you can push off, like lawsuits
right.
And that.
You got constitutional issues with
sure,
criminal stuff.
Right.
You got a right to speedy trial.
And, mm-hmm.
But with civil stuff, that we have a set of guidelines that the Arizona Office of Courts, our administrative office, they put out a set of guidelines for case processing standards. I'm very proud of my processing. Our civil processing is really way high, way above the benchmark. So we're very efficient in the work we do. All of the civil judges are. Criminal judges, I don't mean to cast any shade on them, but they have historically struggled with systemic issues in the criminal justice system, because in the legal defender's offices, county attorney's offices, public defender's offices, those offices have a high turnover rate. A lot of people come into town. They'll work for a couple of years, get a little experience under the belts, and then move up to Coconino, move down to Maricopa. So they face that high turnover all the time, and that creates backlog and delay in the criminal system. And I don't know if it's really avoidable.
I've heard from different sources within police departments especially that there's a high settlement rate with especially criminal cases. That you get to a certain point, not a lot of them go to trial unless they're a high profile. Right.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
that true?
Well, the vast majority of criminal cases, just speaking from my experience doing the arraignments, it's all a lot of drug cases.
Oh, okay.
Lots of drug cases. So probably lots of opportunity there to make plea offers by the county attorneys and for people to settle those cases out. With the higher profile stuff, the stuff that where there's violent crime involved, you're going to introduce some issues there that touch on public sentiment a lot more, and those cases might, if they settle, they might take a lot longer.
It's almost like a vicious cycle I noticed in Mojave County. I don't know about of late, but I know people who've talked about it on the radio on other stations before. The recidivism rate.
Yeah.
You get out, you have all these fines to pay, and then they just can't get out from under it, and then you get picked up on a warrant again, right? Do you see that a lot?
Not handling an active criminal docket, not
right.
me personally, but it is a phenomenon. We've dealt We've tried to address those issues with the recidivism, high recidivism rates, with putting problem-solving courts in place. I didn't talk about that earlier, but I have
drug
been
drug courts in that.
Yeah, I've been a drug court judge, a juvenile drug court. I helped start the juvenile health and wellness courts in Kingman and Havasu. You know, very proud of putting those resources in place, especially for kids going through stuff. And so we try to lower recidivism rates with at least a sliver of that community, and deliver the resources they need to get back on a better track in life.
Interesting. What would you like to see when you're out talking to people and addressing the Rotary Clubs and the Kiwanis and that? What do you tell them as far as why you're running for judge?
Well, my heart's really in it for the people of this county, okay? I love the people of this county. I really try to let that shine through in the work that I do. I have a lot of experience, and I think it's my time to step forward and,
okay,
and throw my hat in the ring and start to, this is my opportunity, I guess.
If you were to pilot a program like what we were just talking about, Veterans Treatment Court or Drug Court or Juvenile, what did they used to have? The boot camp, remember that? If you were to pilot a program, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and I should have probably asked you during the break, which is why I'm making the question longer. what would it be? What would that Ken Gregory pilot program be?
Okay. Well, I'm actually I've spearheaded a couple things in addition to the youth courts that I mentioned. I think the first judge in Arizona to do a fully remote civil jury trial. So when COVID hit, we're dealing with how do we get people in and out of the courthouse, dealing with those public health concerns. And that's when we started introducing, the Zoom technology into the courtrooms, and we were able to pull off a fully remote jury trial. And I've been tasked more recently with implementing what we call fast starts. It's a system for fast jury trials in civil cases. We have what's called an arbitration system within the Superior Court. It's in our civil rules. Cases under $50,000 in controversy, where people aren't asking for anything more than a money judgment.
Sure,
A local attorney will be assigned as an arbitrator, and they'll conduct a mini trial in their in a conference room at their law office. I did lots of them when I was in private practice, and all local attorneys have done these. We have a real shortage of local attorneys now to supply the need for that system.
Really?
So we're going to follow a model, I think it was put in place down in Tucson originally, called Fast Star, where we have jury trials. The cases are intended to be heard within 9 months of filing. So from stem to stern, you're dealing with a nine-month process, and a eight-person jury, no longer than 2 days. And the qualifiers are still less than $50,000 in controversy, no relief other than a money judgment, and no party living outside of the United States.
Well, I was on a six-person jury one time. I guess two alternates is what you're saying is an eight-person?
Yeah.
Okay. It was in Bullhead Municipal Court.
Well, the eight, you could have alternates on top of the eight.
Oh.
You could also have parties stipulate to a lower number of jurors. You seldom see that, but sometimes people stipulate to a six-person jury.
I wanted to ask you, too, while we have about a minute, how tough is it to find a jury in this county? I mean, it seems like that would be a difficult process, being that it's rural, number one, and everybody's so spread out.
Yeah. The toughest times that I've experienced is with the Med-Mal cases, with medical malpractice cases. People have a lot of strong feelings about medical providers, and maybe feel like the system shorted them somehow.
Sure.
Or they have strong feelings the other way. A doctor saved my life. They could do no wrong, right? So we summon a lot of people in for those juries. I've summoned upwards of 90-100 people in. Just because of the voir dire process, the process of jury selection, where the jurors get asked questions by the counsel for plaintiff, counsel for defendant, that can be rough, and they can cut a lot of people out of that jury pool quickly in that process. So, with run-of-the-mill juries, like a small personal injury action, something like that, it's really, the need is met pretty easily.
So real quick, 30 seconds to a minute, why should people vote for Ken Gregory for Division 7?
Okay. Look, my heart's with the people in this county. I will work very, very hard, have a proven track record of working hard. I think people, when they elect officials, they want to know the quality and substance of that person. I've dedicated countless hours of my time in the service of the communities here in Mojave County. I'm from Bullhead, been a Rotarian now for 15 years, past president of the Mojave County Bar Association. Done. My work ethic speaks for itself. In private practice, I started a firm that still exists today, a very successful law firm. I know what it's like to have a small business. I know what it's like to have to get up early and work hard.
Mm-hmm. Past president of the Rotary Club in Bullhead, too, right?
Yeah.
I read that somewhere. Well, thank you for being with us. We really appreciate you making the drive. And best of luck in the upcoming election.
All right, Paul, Jim, thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for educating us.
That's Ken Gregory. He's a candidate for Superior Court Division 7. And I'm going to take it right up to the top of the hour.
Let's do it.
So we'll have Hannity coming up next, preceded by Fox News. And, Jim, good show.
Yes, indeed.
We'll see you next week.
You bet.
All right.
You bet. And we'll try to have those geofence numbers.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll see everybody tomorrow on Speak Out, 11 o'clock.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.